Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Today, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the autumn news from Moody Church. I have had this for a little while, and I was kind of waiting for something I needed to do kind of quick. And I read this one last night, and this is an excellent, excellent newsletter. And it is on the topic of, can't we just believe what the Bible says? And that's like, obviously on the surface, you go, obviously we believe what the Bible says. The problem we have is the idea of doctrine. And doctrine sometimes divides us. And a lot of this is actually discussing Erwin Lutzer's book here, The Doctrines That Divide. And I'm trying to remember, have I read that book or not? Honestly, I have read so many books this summer, I might have actually read that, and I can't actually remember. But anyway, if I have, I'll try and dig it out. Or if I have not, I will look to read it. It might actually be, I think I actually ordered a copy of the book and it has not arrived by the time I left. So it might be something I get to in the spring. But this is kind of tangential to something we have discussed many times on the channel. And that is the difference, like, should we approach our Bible study with no other resources, open the Bible and see what it says? Or should we take an approach to Bible study where we are sitting on the shoulders of giants and we are reading through commentaries and things like that? And there are good arguments that can be made for both sides of that. And so I don't want to completely dismiss anybody who might sit back and go, well, you have to do this or you have to do that. Looking at George Mueller's life, of course, having the famous orphanage, and that is the name of the person I did mention briefly the other day, like, why can I not remember his name? Yeah, it's George Mueller. He is a guy that spent his early Christian life reading a lot of your commentaries and reading a lot of your things about the Christian faith. And he said what transformed his life the most was when he got rid of all of the commentaries and did nothing but read the scripture for what it is. And I have a friend that takes that general approach. He does not know the definitions of theological debates or discussions, and he just reads the scripture and understands the scripture as it is. He reads it several times per year. And what has been my overall experience of this? Well, on the side of those that follow the commentaries and follow the doctrines and follow the, you know, specific teachings of the past, the big downside of this is that you kind of lose the distinctive to read the scriptures and decide for yourself, does that actually what it says? Or do you sit down and go, well, that's a little confusing. Let's see what this guy says. Well, according to the Baptists, it's this. The problem is we have Baptists and Presbyterians, two denominations I think are both very sound, and they completely disagree on several points. Well, are they both just reading the Bible for what it says, or are there just differences and distinctions? Is one of them absolutely right in the eyes of God, and one of them absolutely wrong in the eyes of God? Those are really good questions that we're not going to be able to resolve. Now, in this newsletter, he does mention this, just as kind of by way of introduction here. And he says, why do we even need doctrinal statements? Why don't we believe what the Bible teaches? That's a person asked him the question. And he says, just do away with theology and do what the Bible teaches. Now, it's a wonderful sounding comment to be sure, he says, but very uninformed and very dangerous. And the reason it's uninformed and dangerous is there are indeed truthful points of scripture. One of the challenges is that if you're just reading the scripture and just doing that, the challenge is you can get into pet thoughts and pet ideas. You can read some scripture over and over and over and never read some other scripture. Now, my friend that does away with all commentaries, he is remarkably sound in all of the different views. He couldn't tell you what is the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism. He couldn't tell you the difference between the various, you know, preterist and pre-trib and post-trib and mid-trib, etc. Actually, those he could because he did a lot of writing on eschatology. It's one of those rare cases because he studied it just to see what each different viewpoint happened to say. That's one of the things he might. But then there are some other points of view that he makes. Looking at the various technical terms for things, you know, what is the specifics of soteriology itself? He doesn't know specifically what that word means because it's not a word that is found in scripture itself. It's part of the organized views of theology that we have created. So he is remarkably sound in everything that he is doing, but he couldn't put the specific names on it. Now, is that good or bad? Honestly, it's in some ways good and refreshing in the fact that he doesn't sit there and get caught up in the denominations. And that's one of the things that bothers me sometimes when I get into some of the denominations. They will teach so heavily one particular point of view, even to the exclusion of thoughts on the other side. And that, I think, can indeed be a little bit of a challenge. So Erwin Lutzer goes on, mentions, people say they believe in Jesus, but what Jesus have they believed? That's a good point that doctrine helps to clarify who Jesus is. There were early church heresies. Socinianism was one of the early church heresies that was discussed in the Council of Nicaea. I think that was Council of Nicaea. It might have been earlier than that. Obviously, the first church council was recorded in Acts 15. Does one need to follow the Mosaic law in order to be saved? Does one need to be circumcised? Does one need to adhere to the Sabbath? All of these are questions that were pondered and brought by Paul and Barnabas as they were watching the Holy Spirit move among Gentile people, going back to the church in Jerusalem. And at the final end of it, they said, no, you do not need to be circumcised or otherwise follow the specific Jewish law. But this is what established the idea and theology of the moral law of God versus the civic law of God or the ceremonial law of God. Those types of three things you might hear about if you study theology. And what it's getting at there is that there were some people that believed one could not follow Christ without following the Mosaic law. And there were other people that said, no, you do not need to follow Mosaic law. And the church council cleared that up. Well, one of the first church councils that was not recorded in Scripture, it was after the time of the apostles have passed on, was the doctrine of Socinianism. And Socinianism taught that Jesus was, I'm going to be not perfect on this one. It's not one I've studied in a long time, but it taught effectively that Jesus was truly just a man, and but he had a heightened sense of spiritual understanding. I believe that was the cut down of it. And the church councils met and they clarified these doctrines to say, no, Jesus was fully God and fully man. And that's why you find that in doctrinal statements on nearly every church. That happens so early, it's something that the Catholics and the Protestants agree on. Therefore, every mainline Protestant denomination is going to include that inside of their doctrinal statement. The Catholic churches, the Orthodox churches, everybody believes it because that doctrine was clarified so early on in the Christian life that it was spread through all of the churches as a core understanding. But you look at a later council, like the last council, which is barely understood these days, and is in many ways rejected by a lot of the modern church, sadly, because it was a very good council with some very good teaching, and that was the Council of Dort. And that one was probably the last major council. In the Council of Dort, this is the thing that identified what we now know as the five points of Calvinism, which were adhered and brought forth before the time of the Baptists, before the time of the Methodists, before the time of the Wesleyans, before the time of numerous denominations. At that time, we had the Catholics, and we had the Lutherans, and we had the Reformers, basically, and most of the other denominations came out of it. Well, where we have to understand is that a whole group of peoples who followed a man named Jacob Arminius, put together five points of theology, which, by the way, Jacob Arminius, if you read his words, would not agree with those five points. But the thing is that he focused a lot more on man's responsibility and salvation, whereas other people were focusing a lot more in God's sovereignty over salvation. And that really is that divide between the major doctrines of Calvinism versus Arminianism. And in that point, they came up with five points, which suggested a number of things. The first one, though, was so closely tied to Pelagianism, which is one of the core things that rejected the doctrine itself. And then you had a number of other different theological points. Basically, the five points of Calvinism we have today are because Arminius' followers, after his death, came up with the five points of Arminianism, and the Council of Dort settled that those five points did not align themselves with the Scripture. And unfortunately, though, that happens so late in the church history, many churches do not understand that nor adopt that, and they think that kind of deepens the grace of God. And that's kind of why the doctrine can be important, so we don't fall into some of the old same habits that we may have gone into in the past. And Lutzer goes on here to say, the fault is not with the Bible. Its contents are rather straightforward. Many doctrinal disagreements are of our own making. Now, imagine reading the whole Bible for the first time and trying to grasp what it says about mankind and angels and Satan and heaven and hell and salvation. No book or section is a complete treatise on a particular topic, since it deals with such a vast number of subjects, all of which touch on ultimate issues. We can understand why different interpretations would occur. And that is true, and that's where the doctrinal disagreements can come from. The fact of the matter is, though, is if you read the Bible so many times that you can start putting these things together, as that one friend of mine does, and as George Miller did. You got to understand, George Miller did nothing but read his Bible hours and hours and hours a day. And my friend is much the same way. He reads it hours and hours and hours a day, sometimes reading the whole Bible cover to cover in upwards of 20 times in a given year. It's more than once a month, cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. He understands it. And I've had these discussions with another friend of mine who's a lot younger, and he looks down and sees all of our distractions and has no wonder why we cannot possibly sit down and understand a lot of the doctrines. We have so little biblical literacy in our age. Like right now, this year, I'm reading the Bible twice cover to cover, which I don't think is enough. I did four times last year, and I was like, okay, I was a little busy. This year, I cut back to two. Next year, I'm going to go with three. I think that's a better, in addition to all the other Bible studies I do. But when you can get down to the point where you are reading it over and over and over and over and over again without commentaries, you will come on to the most successful doctrines. So my friend, a friend that reads the Bible so many times, I kind of tease about this, I believe he actually would adhere to the Calvinistic doctrines. He just doesn't call it that, particularly because of it's a divisive term. Okay. And that's one of those things we must keep in mind. Is that some people know and understand what the doctrines of the Bible are, but can't tell you exactly what the names are. The challenge is that we are so distracted in our current age that it removes us from being able to read the scripture alone. But we are also in an age which has had a lot of good progress. We're not talking about the crazy progressivism, let's have pro-LGBT pastors, but we're talking about people who have sat down and studied under the scriptures for so long that we have massive systematic theology texts that didn't exist in Mueller's day, but no, some did. John Calvin was the one that came up with Institutes of the Christian Faith, was really the first systematic theology. So for 1400 years, we didn't have a systematic theology, but Calvin comes up, and yes, he was a flawed man, and yes, he has a few errors in his points here and there, but with him coming up with a giant systematic theology, it does indeed give us a stepping point by which we separate out. So that's kind of what Erwin Lutzer's idea is there. We're already over 13 minutes, so I don't want to get into the whole Q&A here. But in the book, That Doctrines That Divide, he talks about the chief doctrines, the nature of Christ, justification, the authority of scriptures, the Christian practices, and the predestination versus free will. So I'd encourage you to have a look at that book. And I can't remember if I've read that one or not. I don't recall reading it, so it must be the book that I ordered from his ministry, and it hasn't arrived by the time I left. So I'll get it in the spring when I'm back in Pennsylvania. So there is our thoughts today. Let me know your thoughts about all this. Do you sit on one of these sides of the fence? And but here's the warning I would give you. If you are pure scripture only, if you're not reading that thing several times a year, you're going to do yourself a disservice. But if you're so commentary only, you will be inclined to borrow somebody else's theology rather than develop your own. And that's what I want to leave you with today. So let me know your thoughts on this in the comments down below. Thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support. Or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.